Okay, great. I suggest that we leave a back door open just to get a little bit fresh air in. Okay, let's start. First, a few words about me. Actually, I'm not Michael Bauer, as it is written down in the program, but I'm Michael Brauer with an R inside, and even the biography that is in the program is actually not mine. So I'm a technical architect in the OpenOffice.org Star Office development team. I'm in that team since 1995, so for more than 10 years now. My main focus, obviously, are Office application development, and in particular, file formats and XML technologies related to Office applications. I'm also the project owner of the OpenOffice.org XML project, and also the chair of the OASIS Open Document Technical Committee. So today, I would like to talk a little bit about Open Document itself, about its past and where we are and where we would like to go, and also about the adoption of Open Document so far. Within the first part, I will make a few, let's say, breakout sessions where I explain a few details outside the chronological track, but I will take the history to find entry points to that. Okay, the development of Open Document actually started already in 1999. At this time, OpenOffice.org was not founded, but there was also a company in Germany that developed Star Office. Probably all know that. And at these times, we started to develop an XML file format for Office applications, at this time called Star Office XML. And the primary goal why we did that already in these times was to increase the interoperability with other products and other solutions. In 2000, Sun founded OpenOffice.org, and Sun contributed Star Office to OpenOffice.org. And obviously, Star Office XML became OpenOffice.org XML. It became an open source community project, and at the same time, we published the first working draft. In 2001, OpenOffice.org 1.0 appeared. We used OpenOffice.org XML as the default and native file format there. So from 2001 on, OpenOffice.org is actually using an XML file format as its native file format. In 2002, we created the OpenOffice Technical Committee at OASIS. At this time, it was called OpenOffice Technical Committee. Nowadays, we are called Open Document Technical Committee, but it's actually the same. It's only a name change. And the basis of the work of FTC actually was the OpenOffice.org XML file format. So the Sun and the OpenOffice.org project actually contributed the OpenOffice.org specification to the Open Document TC, and the Open Document TC used that as a basis to develop actual Open Document. I would like to say a few words about the charter of the TC, just to emphasize the things that are important about the charter and that may make Open Document a little bit different than other approaches in that area. The purpose of the TC actually, and of course, was to create an XML-based file format for Office applications, but format should meet a couple of requirements. First of all, it must be suitable for Office documents containing text, spreadsheets, charts, and graphical documents. So from the beginning, it was a goal to actually have one file format for all kinds of Office applications and not one for word processors, one for spreadsheets, and so on. It's obviously that such a file format must contain high-level information which allow it to edit documents, so it shouldn't be a presentation format only, but something that allows to store the document models behind the applications. A very important goal or requirement was that it must be friendly to transformation using XSLT or other XML technology. So what it means is that we wanted to be, let's say, a good citizen in the XML world. We wanted not only to have an XML file format with XML data structures, but we wanted that is the format that we are creating is really interoperable, that you can access the information with XSLT and whatever other technologies exist there. And what's also very, very important is that the format should borrow from existing standards wherever this was possible. So, if there is, for instance, HTML, then we wanted to reuse that from HTML, the things that we could use from there. The same holds to, for instance, SVG or SMIL. We have Dublin Core and things like that. So, from the very beginning, we wanted to make sure that we use other standards and don't want it to invent the wheel again. Okay. If we summarize what we wanted to do, then the most important goal was vendor independence. So we wanted that others can bring in their expertise, can bring in their requirements and things like that. We wanted to be interoperable. Interoperability was, as I said, a very important goal. And also very important was the simplicity of the file format for the users. So that's, for instance, the reason why we said we want to be based on our standards. We wanted that things are simple, that it's easy to learn the things about the file format. And if we want to summarize what we want to do, then we wanted to create a solid base for the future, which does not mean that, let's say, legacy documents are not important, but what we wanted to achieve is that these existing documents can be transformed in open document documents, so that from then on, all the new and good things about the open document format are also applicable to old documents. Okay, how do we do that? What did we do to fill the charter with life? First of all, we used standards. We use XHTML, SVG, SMIL, XSL, XForms, MathML, XLink, the Dublin Core Meter Initiative. And if we continue to develop the format, we of course will look on other standards what are existing just to see if we can incorporate them instead of reinventing the wheel. Another thing what we actually did is to reuse our own schema fragments, which means if we have, for instance, a paragraph, and this is a concept that we have in text documents, we have it in spreadsheets, we have it in presentations, and we wanted to, what we actually do is we have one schema which covers these paragraphs in all of these kinds of applications. And the benefits of this are that we have a format which is easy to learn and easy to transform, because you have to do the things only once. We have a very expressive schema, which really expresses the details of a paragraph of a table in XML. And what we also achieved is that we got a very compact specification. We have it's a large number, but we only have only about 700 pages, and compared to some other efforts, that's actually rather small. Okay, let's continue with the history. In 2004, the first committee draft was available for the open document format. In 2005, we changed the name to OASIS Open Document Format for Office Applications. The short name is Open Document. We did that just to make sure that people understand that this is not the file format of OpenOffice.org only, but a file format which should be usable for other applications as well, and which is, yeah, application and also use case independent. Use case independent here means that if someone has a different kind of application than an Office application that believes that the format is usable for them as well, then they should be able to use it and shouldn't be worried to use it because it has something like Office application in its name. And yeah, although we didn't invent this abbreviation, the format actually is today, nowadays, called very often ODF. In 2005, the Open Document 1.0 was approved as an OASIS standard. And in the same year, it was submitted to ISO. What also happened since 2005 is what we created a couple of new subcommittees. We created an accessibility subcommittee, we created a formula subcommittee, a metadata subcommittee. I will talk about them in more detail in a few minutes. And we also created the ODF adoption technical committee, which cares more about the adoption of the format than about its actual development. And what also happened this year is that Open Document was approved as an ISO standard. It's ISO IEC EIS 26300. And we expect the publication of this standard actually very soon. Okay, what does it mean to be an OASIS standard? Does it mean that a couple of TC members created a format and say, that's it, we have created a specification, we have a standard now? No, that's not the case. That's only the first step. So if you want to create an OASIS standard, then the first thing that happens is up that the technical committee approves the specification when it is, yeah, from its perspective, complete. And what's following is a 60-day public review, which is really a public review, which means everyone can look in the specification, everyone can send in comments, and what's important here is that the TC actually has to process these comments. Doesn't mean that it has to say, okay, someone requests a change, we have to do that, but it has to discuss the comments that arrive and has to find a solution how to deal with them. And what's then happening is that if there are comments that have to be addressed and which require a change to the specification, a new specification document is created. There are the comments that the TC accepts get into. And if any of these changes is substantial, which means that it somehow alters the behavior of an open document format or some other specification, then it is required that these changes or that a public review is conducted again for these changes, which then takes 15 days. Yeah, after this public review is done, it's required that the TC reapproves the new specification. This kind of specification is called a committee specification, and after that there will be a ballot within the OASIS membership where, I don't know exactly, I think 25% of the OASIS members have to agree to the specification, and a TC can also only request such a ballot if it has certifications that the specification is used successfully. So in the end, it means that if we have an OASIS standard, it has been reviewed very heavily already. Okay, so where are we now? Right now we have Open Document 1.0 as a committee draft, and it is currently in the public review phase. And we have several subcommittees which conduct their business. The first one I would like to mention is the accessibility subcommittee. The proposal of the accessibility subcommittee is to liaise with the disability community to gather accessibility-related feedback on open document, and also to gather feedback from implementers. What the CC did is it produced a formal accessibility evaluation of the open document file format. And what makes me personally very happy is that we have a lot of accessibility experts in the accessibility subcommittee. So it's not only the members from the technical committee which have a very good expertise in office applications, but it's also but there are many of the accessibility subcommittee members are more the accessibility experts, which of course have a different view on the things. Yeah, the status of the accessibility subcommittee is that it has completed its evaluation in May. It currently works on implementation guidelines, and the subcommittee just this week has agreed that it wants to continue its work in the future, so there shall be an ongoing review of open documents. So this effort isn't stopped with open document 1.1, but it will continue. Which actually means that we will have a very good review of the things, of the other features that we will implement for Open Document in the future. The accessibility evaluation actually revealed 9 accessibility issues for Open Document 1.0. If these issues were resolved, the subcommittee believes that Open Document will meet or exceed the accessibility support provided in all other office file formats, as well as that specified by the W3C Web Content Accessibility Guidelines. That's, I think, a very good thing. 8 issues actually are resolved in Open Document 1.0, and one issue will remain open. That's a so-called table shape for presentation, which means that you have presentation shape that actually behaves like a table. And accessible, but that's an issue, of course, but it's not as severe as it might look like because there are accessible workarounds existing for this problem. The next subcommittee I would like to talk about is the formula subcommittee. The purpose of the formula subcommittee is to create a specification for a formula language that should be used in open documents, spreadsheet documents. A first working draft is already available, it's on the web pages. The syntax and types of this of formulas are already specified, and the subcommittee is currently working on the function descriptions, and we are very confident that we will finish this within this year. I would like to say a few words on remediation of Open Document and Open Formula and the question, does Open Document support formulas? Actually, Open Document supports arbitrary formulas. That means we have where you can enter a formula, you are free to enter whatever formula you would like, but you have to identify the syntax and semantics you are using through an XML namespace. Open Document does not define its own formula language right now, but because the formula language which is used is identified by a namespace, we get non-standardized but well-defined behavior. So OpenOffice, for instance, includes the OpenOffice formula language and identifies it as that, so that documents remain interoperable. Even if the formula specification, what we expect for the open formula specification is that we will, that it will remain a separate specification document. So the idea is that this specification cannot only be used with open document, but also with other specifications or in other cases. It will be usable with Open Document 1.0 and 1.1 already, and but it will also become the recommended and standardized formula language of Open Document version 1.2. But even in it, this has happened, the possibility to use other formula languages will still exist. So we probably won't say you have to use this specification if you have a formula in a spreadsheet. But if you have use cases where you require another formula language, then you may be able to do that. But of course, you have to know what you're doing then. So unless there are very good reasons to do that, I wouldn't recommend to do that. Okay, the next subcommittee, and actually the third and last one I would like to say a few words about, is the metadata subcommittee. The purpose of this subcommittee is first to gather use cases for application of metadata in open documents. We did that because metadata is a very broad term. If you think of metadata, this could be metadata about the document, about objects in the document. It could be other information that you would like to add to a document. So it's a very broad term, and we first want to get some overview, what are the use cases that we want to address. And once we have that, we propose the metadata subcommittee will be to actually propose enhancement for open document that fulfill these requirements. And the current status of this subcommittee is where the first use case draft is available. I would like to explain a little bit the separation or the differences or dependencies of metadata, of forms, and of custom schemas. I think custom schema is a term which is used very often, and I would like to explain a little bit its relation to metadata. First of all, what are custom schemas? Custom schemas are the counterpart to an office schema. An office schema is a schema which is, defines markup for office documents. That's its that's obvious. And from the perspective of an office schema, a custom schema is any other markup or schema that is interleaved with this office schema. So whenever you add a tag or an element which is not defined in the office schema, then it is a custom schema. And this can be a user-defined schema, but it also can be a standardized schema like UBL. And it's broadly used to store information that is not in the, in the office schema. Typical use cases, if you look where custom schemas are used in other applications, then you will find that typical use cases are data entry forms, which means you have a text document and you can enter data somewhere, and the purpose of this document is to actually fill an instance of some other schema with data. And the other use case that you will find is that custom schemas are used to define metadata. If you look at this feature in more detail, then we will see that custom schemas actually are not a feature of a schema or a file format, but they are already a schema feature of XML and XML namespaces. So because of this, Open Document, of course, supports custom schemas as well. And compared to forms and metadata, it is one, but not the only solution for this kind of problems. And for the data entry forms, for instance, for Open Document, we decided that we don't want to use something like custom schemas for that purpose, but that we want to have a clean separation from the instance which is filled with data from the office markup, and what we also would like to have a standardized solution. And so we decided to use W3CX forms for that purpose. And for the metadata use case, the situation actually is that the subcommittee analyzes how these kind of use cases could be best addressed and will recommend an appropriate solution for that. So in other words, what we are doing in Open Document is to find standardized and well-defined ways to provide the same solutions that you can implement with custom schemas. Okay, so where are we now? We have a formula specification in progress. We have a first draft available there. We expect to have a complete draft in this year. In the metadata subcommittee, we are working on the use case document, and we have open document version 1.1 in a public review. It will end at the 25th of December, which is in a couple of days. And we, of course, have the accessibility subcommittee working on the guidelines. Yeah, the future, where, what will happen this year, next year. So yeah, the open document review will end. We will then finish the standardization process of open document around this year, since because of the process at OASIS for getting a standard, we actually can't say, okay, we will be finished in November, in December, in January, but we have to see what comments arrive, how long we need to resolve them, things like that. But our aim is to have this finished around the end of this year. And yeah, this also applies to the formula specification, where we want to have a complete draft also ready at the end of this year. And for mid next year, we are targeting for an open document version 1.2, which will complete the formula and include the formula specification. It will include accessibility enhancements, and it will include the metadata enhancements. And we are intending to submit this open document version 1.2 to ISO again. This roadmap is written that explicitly in the title line. This is the current plan of record. So all steps that are written down there require an approval of the technical committee. Then the time has come for them, and it might at any time happening that the technical committee says, okay, we have an additional requirement, something happened, whatever, that we adapt the schedule. So it's not, it's a roadmap, but the TC, of course, will react on things that are happening around it. Okay, this actually was already the first part where I would like to talk about open document, and I will, in the second part, give a rough overview over its adoption. One group which was founded to support adopters actually is the open document ODF adoption TC. The purpose of this technical committee is to create the awareness and demand for new class applications and solutions designed specifically to support and leverage open document. And another purpose is to create a wide-scale understanding of the benefits of the open document format support within organization and government bodies. So if you take it all together, idea behind this technical committee is to support adopters and implementers on a not so technical level like the Open Document TC. Deliverables of the open adoption TC on the one hand is the XML.org Open Document focus area. It's white papers, position papers, case studies, presentations, FAQs. So all the things that you need if you want successfully adopt the file format. Another group which was founded in the last month is the ODF Alliance. The ODF Alliance is not an organization within OASIS, it's outside OASIS. And the idea behind the ODF Alliance is to enable the public sector to have a greater control over and direct management of their own records and of their own records, information, and documents. And yeah, for this purpose, the ODF Alliance seeks to promote and advance the use of open document. And another part of the mission of this group is to help ensure that government information, records, documents are accessible across platforms and applications, even as technologies change. If you look on the vendors who support OpenDocument right now, it's simplest to check who's members of the different groups. In the OpenDocument DC itself, we have Adobe, we have IBM, Intel, KDE, Novel, OpenOffice.org, Sun. In the adoption TC that focuses on independent software vendors, we have IBM, Novel, OpenOffice, Oracle, Sun, and others. And in the ODF Alliance, which focuses on the public sector, we have now more than 300 companies and organizations, including BBC, Bristol City Council, BAU, City of Vienna, Coral, EDS, EMC, Google, IBM, Novel, Oracle, Red Hat, Software AG, Sun, and of course, 280 or so others. If we want to get an impression how often OpenDocument is used already, it might make sense to have a look at OpenOffice. For OpenOffice, we have 69 million downloads. We have 1.5 installs per download, so we can assume that we have more installation than downloads. We have 35 mailing list subscribers. It's the number two Office Suite on Unix system, number two Office Suite in general, and the number one on Linux systems. It's available in more than 60 languages, and I think all the other highlights you know. And so even if we look only at OpenOffice, the conclusion is that OpenDocument is already heavily used, but there are of course other applications as well. We have Sun Star Office Suite, we have KOffice, IBM Workplace, TextMaker, RBWord, Numeric, Google Writer, Ajax Write, and many, many more. The adoption of OpenDocument or OpenDocument has already reached a very large momentum among application vendors. Okay, next I would like to simply list a few efforts which are going on in governments to adopt OpenDocument. Some of them are finished, some of them are in progress. If you have questions regarding one of these efforts, I would like to, I can bring you in contact with the ODF Adoption TC, which knows much more details than I actually do as being a member of the OpenDocument TC. So I'm only listing them to give you an overview. We have the effort at the European Commission in the IDRPC. We have an effort in Belgium, in Denmark, in France, in Germany, in Spain. That was the efforts I'm aware of in Europe. And in worldwide, we have, of course, the effort in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. In Brazil, there is one, in India, in Malaysia. So if you look at the press, then I think at least every month you will read a message that another country has joined this group. Okay, so and finally, I would like to provide you with a couple of resources which provide additional information. We have, as a first resource I would like to mention, the very new OpenOffice, opendocument.xml.org focus area, which was launched, I don't know exactly today or on Friday or something like that. We have the OASIS ODF Adoption TC and its webpage. We have the ODF Alliance, which has gathered a couple of information about OpenDocument. We, of course, have webpages of the OpenDocument TC. So the first three are, I think, in particular of interest if you are interested in adopting the format and in the not so technical details, and the more technical details are available on the OpenDocument TC webpages in the specification and things. And finally, there is quite good web page in Wikipedia, which contains a lot of information about OpenDocument, and there's also a group called OpenDocument fellowship, which also provides a lot of information. Okay, and this actually was it. And are there any questions? Okay, so thank you very much.